come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled The Acts of the Apostles, a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through Acts chapters 1 through 16. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Here we are, we're moving into chapter 14 of the book of Acts. And Lord Jesus, as we just open up this our Bibles and our scripture, Lord, we take a look at it and we see what you have for us, Lord. God, we just want to bring honor and glory to your name. We want to be reminded, Lord, of the words that we speak. We want to be reminded, Lord, of the things that we do and what people hear from us. Lord, we want to be reminded of what you're doing and how you're doing it. We want to be reminded to pray for one another and to encourage one another and to strengthen one another. We are thankful, Lord. We are thankful to be in your presence. We are thankful, Lord, and please make us very aware of your Holy Spirit. We've already been made aware of your Holy Spirit as we were worshiping, as we were praying, Lord, very aware that you are here and you are always with us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us, Lord. You are with us no matter what our trial is. You have never promised us anything other than trials, Lord. You have promised us eternal life. And on our way, we're going to go through some tough stuff, and that's just life. So I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here this morning. I thank you, Lord, for ministering to us already this morning, and pray that you would continue to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm doing something really new. Here are my notes. Whoo! You're scared already, aren't you? This is a little book that I recommend it. So these are little books that are on each book of the Bible in the New Testament, and they have writing room on this side. The scripture's on this side, and then they have writing room on the other side. It's a great scripture studying tool. So here we are in chapter 14 of the book of Acts. Now, we finished off. They left the area that they were at. They shook off the dust from their feet against them, and they headed off to Iconium. Now, Iconium happens to be a very important city. It was an important Roman military base, and it says that they stayed there a long time. And so when they came in verse 52 of chapter 13, it says the disciples were filled, when they got to Iconium, they were filled with joy. Where do we find joy? In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. They have been in the presence of the Lord in their travels as they've gotten there. They are filled with joy. They are also filled with the Holy Spirit. They are allowing the Holy Spirit to direct their steps. They are allowing the Holy Spirit to be in charge, just like this morning. That was out of the ordinary for us to pray that way, wasn't it? We're together here. We just pray. This is the Holy Spirit at work, and he does things in a different way. And so they were filled with joy. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And now it happened in Iconium that they went together to where? To the synagogue of the Jews. Why? Go ahead. You know, why did they go to the synagogue first? Because it's the Jew first and then to the Greek. The Jew first and then the Gentile. Every place that they've gone, and we've talked about it before, every place that they've gone, they go to the Jew first, to the synagogue first, and they preach there. And so they went to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of Jews and Greeks, believed. So they are preaching the gospel, and many people came and they believed. But in verse 2, the unbelieving Jews are not happy with this situation because they're stirring up what? The Jews Do you see what it says there? They're going to the Gentiles. Why are they going to the Gentiles? You see, the Jews know the promises. The Jews already know the promises. And as those promises are being met with Paul's words and being confirmed that it was fulfilled in Jesus, they know that that's the truth. But the Gentiles don't have those promises. And so it's very easy to sway the Gentiles in a different direction. So they stirred up the Gentiles, poisoned their minds against the brethren. And then it says, therefore. And when it's therefore, you want to find out why is it therefore. Therefore, they stayed there a long time. Why? Because there were many people coming to Jesus, and there were many that were being led astray. And they stayed there a long time with the purpose of speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace. God himself was bearing witness to the word of his grace. How? Through him, they were able to do signs through God. They were able to do wonders through God, through the work of the Holy Spirit. These were not works of their own. They were works of the Holy Spirit, and they were done through Paul and through Barnabas as well, although we only have recorded that it was Paul. But the multitude of the city was divided in verse 4. And a city divided is just going to be fall. And a country divided is going to fall. So we are praying. For those of you who don't know, 7 o'clock on Wednesday mornings and on Friday mornings before work, if you want to come before work, 7 a.m., we are praying in here. Anybody who wants to come, we are praying. One of the things we pray for is our nation. Then at 9:30, of course, we have our women's prayer meeting, limited only to the women. And that is led by Kathy Craig, and that's a great ministry as well. So you want to be a part of praying for that division that's going on in our country, that the Lord would intervene. And verse 5, and when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to beat up and to stone them, they became aware of it and they fled. Wait a minute. Paul ran away? Wait, why is he running away? That's not Paul. That's not the Paul that we've come to know. He stands in the midst of things. I would submit to you that he had invested time with the Lord. As soon as he found this out, he said, Lord, do you want me to stay and take it, or do you want me to go? And the Lord said, as he did to Moses, he said, this is not the time to pray. This is the time to move. And so Paul and Barnabas moved. They fled to Lystra. They fled to Derbe, cities of Laconia, and to the surrounding region. What just happened? What just happened is that they have moved from the synagogue of the Jews to the countries of the Gentiles. There is no synagogue in the area that they're going to. Because you have to have 10 Jewish men to be able to have a synagogue in an area. They did not have 10 Jewish men there in that area. And so they're going to the Gentiles. God moved them on. God moved them on. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. And they were doing what? They were preaching the gospel there. They continued to preach the gospel there. And God had them there for a particular purpose, for a particular man. It says, for a certain man. Now, we know this story about a lame man that Peter raised up, and he was sitting outside the synagogue, sitting outside the temple, and Peter said, rise up and walk, and he went weep. He didn't weep, but he did. Walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. That's what he did, because he went right into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. This is another story. This is not outside the temple, because remember, there's no temple here. There's no synagogue here for him to be outside of. But it says, and in Lystra, verse 8, a certain man without strength in his feet, no strength in his feet, pay attention to what we're reading, was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, so he was born that way, who had never walked. So he had no muscles in his legs. His feet perhaps were turned a different way. Maybe they were malformed. Maybe his legs were malformed. We're not told because it's not important to the story. But we know that he was crippled from the day that he was born. And so from the day that he was born until this day, he had nothing going on as far as his legs and his feet are concerned. So he was sitting there. And this man heard Paul speaking. This man heard Paul speaking. I want you to think about that for a moment. The man heard Paul speaking. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:14. He heard. What do people hear when you're talking? When you're speaking? When I'm speaking? What do people overhear? I have been guilty. Oh, surprise, surprise. I have been guilty of saying something in public, not loud, just talking with someone else, and saying something that someone else overhears, and it's not glorifying to God. It's not something that encouraged somebody. It's not something that helped somebody along. And somebody else heard it. What do people hear when we speak? What do people hear in public when we speak? What do people in our home hear when we speak? Do they hear us praising God? Do they hear things of the goodness of God? Do they hear of opportunities to serve God? Do they look at you and say, that person walks with Jesus? Or do they buy into something else? So that's something that I have to deal with. Years ago, when Shannon was little, just an illustration, I used this by permission from Bill. But Shannon was riding in the car with Bill, and she was quite young, I remember, and someone had not used their turn signal to make the turn. And Bill's driving. Shannon rolls down the window and says, "We use turn signals around here." Where did she hear that? You see, we don't realize what people hear. We don't realize that everything that comes out of our mouth, God is hearing. And so we need to pay attention to that. So this man heard Paul speaking. Paul was aware of him. That's the other thing about this. Paul observing him intently. He noticed this man sitting on the ground. He noticed the people that were around him. He noticed the people. It doesn't matter what our program is. It doesn't matter what our organization is. It doesn't matter if we've got everything in line. Don't forget the people. I'm sorry, I'm getting all worked up over this. But I see sometimes we get so involved in putting together some event that we forget why it is we're doing it. It's the people. It's the people. Jesus died for the people. And if we forget that, then we pass that along to other people. Now, I want to encourage you to know and pat ourselves on the back, all of us who worked on it. By the way, thank you for anybody who is in here who had anything to do with the luncheon. We pray about everything. We pray about the centerpieces. We pray about the things that are being handed out. We pray about the people, where they're going to be sitting. We pray about our speaker. We pray about the worship. We pray about the person that's going to be our MC. We pray about the person that's going to be sitting at that table. Lord, is that where you want that person as they're being seated in here? We pray about them feeling welcomed and encouraged and strengthened as they walk in that door and give their ticket. All of that stuff is prayed over because it's all about the people. And we get to have a really nice event while we're at it. So that's the good thing. And so, seeing that he had faith to be healed, said, okay, dude, I'll tell you, I have this feeling that God wants to heal you. So I'll take your hand and we won't make a big deal about it, but I'll just take your hand and let's see how this works. What does it say? He said with a loud voice. Other people were listening to Paul, and he said with a loud voice the very things that God, the Holy Spirit, had put in his mouth, and he said to him, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and he walked. Immediately, he stood up on legs that didn't have any muscle, that were probably malformed, that have never stood before, let alone leapt, let alone walked. God did that. God did that. It was a work of the Holy Spirit. And it happened because two people were obedient. Paul was obedient to listen to the Lord and to do what God told him to do. The man was obedient to stand up, even though inside himself he knew that he had no strength to do it. And yet he did it because God told him to do it. If we can walk in that kind of obedience, imagine what we can do, ladies. Imagine what we can do in this city. Imagine what we can do in this church, in our neighborhoods, if we will just walk in what God calls us to walk in. And now, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language. Now, there was a common language that went through, much like around the world now, you can go just about anywhere, and there are people there who speak English. But at that place, people spoke maybe Roman, is it Roman? I don't know. They spoke Greek, very common, but they're saying this in their language of that area, their dialect of that area. The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Yes, God did come in the likeness of man. They were right. God did come in the likeness of man. He came in the person of Jesus Christ in the likeness of man, and he died for our sins. He rose again, and he had died for our sins, that we could be set free from all of the things that are going on in our lives. And Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Now, Zeus and Hermes are also known as Zeus is, the Greek is Jupiter, and Hermes, the Greek, is Mercury. The story goes that these two gods came to the city, came to the town, and no one noticed that they were gods. And they got so upset that no one noticed that they were gods that they destroyed the whole town except for this one couple. This one couple who said, oh, no, come in. They probably saw what was going on. Said, oh, no, come stay with us. And their reward for doing that was that they became trees. Yeah, sounds good to me. And these trees stand guard at the temple to Jupiter. So that's the story that these guys are working on. This is the gods that they are following. And so, Hermes or Mercury was the spokesperson, whereas Zeus was the big guy. He was the big god, and Mercury or Hermes was the one who did all the talking for him. He was that spokesperson. So, then the priests of Zeus, verse 13, whose temple was in front of their city, so it was right as you entered in, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and they ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are just men. We're just like you. We have the same temptations. We have the same trials. We have the same things as you do. And we preach to you that you should turn from these useless gods," really is what they're saying. They're calling them useless things, "to the living God that we're preaching to you. That's the one that you want to follow. He's the one who's done this healing." And then he goes on to preach the gospel about creation, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all things that are in him, whom in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own way. In Psalm 81:12, it says that they all walked in their own way and the destruction that came. In Micah 4:5, it says they walked after their own way, but we will follow after God. So we want to learn those verses. They walked their own way, but we will follow after God. Verse 17, "Nevertheless, he didn't leave himself without witness in that he did good. He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and with gladness." Filling our hearts with food and with gladness. Here's my question. We call an earthquake an act of God. We call a cyclone an act of God. We call a hurricane an act of God. We call a tornado an act of God. We call a big electrical storm an act of God. We call a tidal wave an act of God. Why do we never look outside and go, "Wow, the sun, that's an act of God. The rain that's gently falling on the ground and raising our crop, that's an act of God." But no, we want to give it to someone else. And then in verse 18, "And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them," but they did. And what happened? But first I want to just... Paul and Barnabas refused to be worshipped. They refused to be worshipped. Paul had already learned that the God that he served knocked him off of a horse and blinded him. "I don't want to mess with a God like that," he says. "I will follow a God like that." So they refused to take any of the glory. The story is of James Cook, Captain Cook, who found the Hawaiian Islands. And when he came on the Hawaiian Islands, they thought he was a god. And so he was just, "Oh, yeah, whew. All right. Someone's finally noticed how important I am." And he allowed them to let them think that he was a god. And what happened to him? He got whatever he wanted. He was treated really special. And he could have any woman that he wanted. But he picked this one woman, and as he's walking with her, her boyfriend, or whoever was connected with her, forgot that James Cook was a god, and he hit him over the head with a stick or a club or something. Cook groaned, fell to the ground, and bled. And the man said, "A god does not groan, and a god does not bleed," and it cost James Cook his life because he allowed someone to worship him as God, and he was found out, because we will always be found out when we take God's place, always. We are all tempted in that. I have a Jack Black movie in my mind. I can't remember. I just remember that he was brought in as a god, and they were being all cool to him, and then they found out that he wasn't a god, and all of this stuff that he was being boiled and all this stuff going to be boiled, and it was all a funny movie. Yes, it was all a funny movie. That's all I remember, but didn't need to be in there. But we are all tempted. We are all tempted to take the glory, and I got to confess to you guys. I have a confession to make, because I would like to take the glory for something. I've had some of you who have come up to me and said, oh, I love the ladies' bathroom. You obviously have had your hand in that. And you know what? I've had that much of a hand in that. Like, which side the hinges should go on for the doors? Where should the long mirror go? You know, little things like that. That whole thing was designed by Bethany and by Jessica Acuna. And I would love to take the credit for it. That's my temptation. I would like you to think that I was that talented. But I can't take that on because I'm not. First of all, I'm not that talented, and it's not mine to hold. It's not my glory. And these girls are so talented and put it together in such a good way. And God still gets the glory for it. Even though he gave them the talent to do it, God still gets the glory for it. So I'm thankful for that. Woo, Bethany. Yes. And so what did they do then? Okay. And then the Jews, remember, there are no Jews in this area, right? There are no synagogue in this area. There are not 10 Jews in this area. They came from Antioch, they came from Iconium, and they followed him there. And they came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. This is where my question is. I bet some of you have the same question. Did you think of 2 Corinthians 12, 2, where he said, I know a man 14 years ago. I don't know if he was in the body or out of the body. I don't know what the situation was, but this is what I saw. I saw heaven, and I can't even talk about the things that I saw because he couldn't explain the things that he saw. I don't know. Did he die? I don't know. We don't know. But this is what we know. We know that they thought he was dead. There's the thing. They thought he was dead. And then what happened? Verse 20, however, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. They thought he was dead. What are the disciples doing as they're around him? What would you be doing? I'd be praying. I'd be crying. I'd be crying out to the Lord. It would be the mourning that goes on amongst those guys. It would have been loud. So they in the city think he's dead, and here he comes into the city. Hi. Do you think he did anything like that? I don't know. I don't know if he came in with a chest out or anything of what you guys thought was happening is not happening. Just want to let you know. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. The next day, they left. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, the people who had just done this to him, and Antioch. And what did they do when they got there? They strengthened the souls of the disciples. They strengthened one another. We prayed today that we would be there for each other. That's what Paul was doing. He was encouraging them to be strong for one another. He was exhorting them to continue in the faith. How do you continue in the faith? Anybody? Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Stay in fellowship. Don't let yourself be out there, even though it's very comfortable sometimes to just be all by myself and let me think whatever I want to think about whoever I want to think it about. And just let me, I need time. I got to have that time by myself. And yes, we have to have our time by ourselves with the Lord. And yes, sometimes we need just a little bit of time by ourselves. But don't have so much time by yourself that you are at the end of the pack and an easy pick for the enemy, the easy pick for the wolves. And saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. First thing I want to tell you is God has not promised us skies always blue or flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. He's promised to be with us. God is good and life is tough. Don't get the two mixed up. Noah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fire, but they were not burned. Noah rose above the trial in going in the boat, above it. Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land. And I personally think there were two reasons for that. One was his disobedience, which we are clearly taught. And I think the other one was so that people would stop worshiping him. Because people would have worshiped him. And God protected him from that. Job was carried through and got all kinds of blessings at the end of the tribulation. Double on many things. And 2 Timothy 3:10 and 11 says, the Lord delivered me out of them all. The Lord delivered me out of them all. What are you worried about in your tribulations right now? We're all going through it. I just want you to know there's something in every one of our lives that if we sat and thought for 5 seconds, we could come up with something that we feel is a tribulation in our life. But God delivered us out of them all. There will be an end. There will be an end. So when they had appointed elders and put the church in order and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. Prayed and fasting. Prayed and fasting. That keeps coming up in Acts. Do you think God is telling us something? Praying and fasting. Listening for the Lord instead of filling my stomach. I know that's what God's telling me. If God's telling you to do it, do it. Don't put it off. Don't do it for losing weight. Don't do it for any other reason than God told you to do it. And then go about it. And they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now they're making their circle back. And I hope that you can go on the internet and just put in Paul's. You have it in the back of your Bible probably, but you can also on the internet just Paul's first journey. It will show you all of how they circled around. Now, when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Remember, they were sent out with prayer and fasting. They were sent, and that's the way they came back. With prayer and fasting as well. And they had completed their work. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. It wouldn't have happened any other way if they hadn't had to run from Iconium. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. And then I heard somebody say, and they lived happily ever after. But they didn't live happily ever after, did they? They stayed there a long time, and as we get into next week, we'll see some other things that happen. We've got a couple of minutes. I just want to read to you this chapter from the Message. I think you will enjoy it, and it puts a different light on all of it. When they got to Iconium, they went, as they always did, to the meeting place of the Jews and gave their message. The message convinced both Jews and non-Jews, and not just a few either, but the unbelieving Jews worked up a whispering campaign against Paul and Barnabas, sowing mistrust and suspicion in the minds of the people in the street. The two apostles were there a long time, speaking freely and openly and confidently as they presented the clear evidence of God's gifts, God cooperating with them. with their work with miracles and wonders. But then there was a split in the public opinion, some siding with the Jews, some with the apostles, and one day learning that both the Jews and non-Jews had been organized by their leaders to beat them up, they escaped as best they could to the next town, Lycaonia, Lystra, Derbe, and that neighborhood. But then we're right back at it again, getting out the message. There was a man in Lystra who couldn't walk. He sat there, crippled since the day of his birth. He heard Paul talking, and Paul, looking at him in the eye, saw that he was ripe for God's work, ready to believe. And so he said, loud enough for everyone to hear, "Up on your feet." The man was up in a flash, jumped up, and walked around as if he'd been walking all his life. When the crowd saw that what Paul had done, they went wild, calling out in their dialect, "The gods have come down. These men are gods." They called Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, since Paul did most of the speaking. The priest of the local Zeus shrine got up a parade, bulls and banners and people lined right up to the gates ready for the ritual of sacrifice. When Barnabas and Paul finally realized what was going on, they stopped them. Waving their arms, they interrupted the parade, calling out, "What do you think you're doing? We're not gods, we're men just like you, and we're here to bring you the message, to persuade you to abandon these silly god superstitions and embrace God himself, the living God. We don't make God. He makes us and all of this, sky, earth, sea, and everything in them. In the generations before us, God let all the different nations go their own way. But even then, he didn't leave them without a clue. For he made a good creation, poured down rain, and gave bumper crops. When your bellies were full and your hearts happy, there was evidence of good beyond your doing. Talking fast and hard like this, they prevented them from carrying out the sacrifice that would have honored them as gods, but just barely. Then some Jews from Antioch and Iconium caught up with them and turned the fickle crowd against them. They beat Paul unconscious, dragged him outside the city, outside the town, and left him for dead. But as the disciples gathered around him, he came to and got up. He went back into the town and the next day left with Barnabas for Derbe. After proclaiming the message in Derbe and establishing a strong core of disciples, they retraced their steps to Lystra, then Iconium and Antioch, putting muscle and sinew in the lives of the disciples. That's what I wanted to get to. Putting muscle and sinew into the lives of the disciples. Urging them to stick with what they had begun to believe and not quit. Making it clear to them that it wouldn't be easy. Anyone signing up for the kingdom of God has to go through plenty of hard times. Paul and Barnabas handpicked leaders in each church after praying, and their prayers intensified by fasting. Paying more attention. They presented these new leaders to the master to whom they had entrusted their lives. Working their way back through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, preached in Perga. Finally, they made it to Antioch, caught a ship back to Antioch, where it had all started, launched by God's grace, and now safely home by God's grace. A good piece of work. On arrival, they got the church together and reported on their trip, telling in detail how God had used them to throw the door of faith wide open so people of all nations could come streaming in. Then they settled down for a long, leisurely visit with the disciples. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that you have put in us, Lord God, that you have established in us a work that you're doing in each one of us. And we thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We want to honor you and bless you and continue to minister to you as we get in our groups, Lord. Thank you for these precious ladies, Lord. Would you anoint them afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit? Give them all they need, Lord, to accomplish whatever you've called them to do. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.